Good morning from a very not morning person. Welcome to Smashy Business. I'm Lubna Hamdan. And with me is my co-host for today, Rawa Harati. Rawa, welcome back. We had you last week.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We had a lovely conversation. And just right now, before the show started, we were talking about how, or I was going to tell you how a lot of people pretend to know what they're talking about. They don't actually know what they're talking about. Yeah. And you were explaining the difference between being an economist and being in kind of the financial industry. And we cover a lot of stock news, stocks, IPOs, the exchanges. And I still think that when it comes to stock, nobody really knows what they're talking about. Okay. Just putting it out there. You know,
good
it's
point.
I mean, it's such a complicated market. It's such a volatile, you know, investment going into stocks and, you know, insider trading. Does it happen? Does it not happen? I don't know. You know what I mean? So so people do love to pretend to know what they're talking about. That's what I think. I love that you're being very diplomatic on this. So we're going to move on to the news. And I was like, not falling.
I don't want to talk about anyone.
Not falling for this controversial kind of comments. Okay, so Mubadala, and we were just talking about the amazing story of Khaldun, of Mubadala. So Khaldun has come to the rescue of China's mall operating giant, together with the ADIA, which is the Abu Dhabi Investment Authority, of course. It's looking to acquire stakes in the mall operator. This is amid a downturn in the valuation of the mall operator. So it joined a consortium of investors led by Hong Kong-based private equity giant PAG in an $8.3 billion investment for a majority stake of 60% in the mall operator, which is... Dalian Wanda. So the investment comes as it lost 50% of its valuation in just 3 years. That's a big, big number. So yeah, it's interesting. Mubadala has really been, so it has a target of doubling its exposure in Asia by 2030. It's definitely hitting that target. It has been looking into India as well. It invested for the first time in non-banking financial company, education-based Avance Financial Services. It's also planning on going into the Indian healthcare space with an investment in India's second largest hospital chain, Manipal, I think. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Lots going on with China. This takes me to my next point, and this is where you come in, Rawa. There's a because we spoke about the mall operator in China, someone commented on our Instagram where we put up this piece of news. They said, why are they investing in a failing business? The real estate crisis in China is ongoing. Why would Mubadala invest in that, and how does the Chinese real estate crisis affect Dubai and the UAE and Saudi?
And the world. So maybe, Lubna, just to take a step back, why China? Why do we care about discussing China? Let's start from there. Well, China is the second largest economy in the world, right? And in today's interconnected world, whatever happened thousands of miles away is actually going to affect the global economy. It's going to affect me, you personally, our businesses, and our region. So very important to keep an eye on these events. And for the UAE specifically, China is one of the major, largest trading partner. And UAE is one of the substantial supplier for oil for China. China also is investing a lot in the UAE, especially in renewable energy. You have investment in infrastructure, in different
real
things.
Estate,
so we care,
taken,
real estate, so we care a lot about China. As you said, China is dealing with a lot these days. And one of their challenges is the real estate market. So just to give you a small story on how it started and why it's where we are. It goes back to the housing boom that happened in China. Remember in the 1990s, a lot of urban migration, people went from rural the rural areas to the urban areas. Yeah. Also, the government was pushing banks to give a lot of loans, for mortgages for people to be able to buy apartments and land in China. But the problem is the developers, the property developers, built their whole approach on a lot of debt. They got indebted a lot, and this created a bubble basically that burst recently. That's why the whole market is suffering, and investors worldwide are very anxious, because you end up buying 2, 3, 4 apartments in China thinking the government will never let this sector fail, and suddenly you see big developers like Evergrande defaulting on their debt. So this is why we have a real estate sector crisis in China. Mm-hmm. Why do I care? Why should we care? Because when the businesses and the people in China suffer, they have less money because they lost some money in the real estate sector. What happens? They invest less. They consume less. They travel less. Mm-hmm. So we are impacted directly because of that, you know, of the issues they are dealing with.
Absolutely. Do you think, though, because, you know, we were having iftar at Hussein Sajwani's house just last week, and he said, actually, instead of the Russians, now the Chinese are coming back to Dubai, and they're not only buying homes, you know, and he's talking billionaires, you know, that kind of level of executives and business people. He said they're not just buying homes. They're also setting up roots here.
Yeah.
You know, opening up businesses, making big investments.
Belt and Road Initiative. Mm-hmm. This is what also China is very known for, which aims basically to enhance all the trade routes from Asia to Europe to Africa as well. So this is always part of the Chinese plans, where to invest, where is it, you know, the return of investment is bigger, and the region is attractive for China and for other countries as well.
Absolutely. Do you yourself own any property? Because we have Walid Shihabi also co-host with us. And Rawa, I haven't mentioned this before. I mentioned this in the last episode. Wow, my Arabic accent just like kicked in for a while.
With Rawa?
Before, I said before. Just kicks in sometimes. Yeah, sometimes it's the Arabic accent. Sometimes it's the Russian
Same.
One.
Every time I say my name, it kicks off. Like, what's your name? We're having conversations. It's
Rawa. We should do an episode in Arabic or something. Yeah, love it. So Rawa is an economist and also the founder of Kins Consultancy. So we have Walid Shihabi, who is the co-founder of Keeper. It's a real estate platform for investors and buyers and renters. So we love to talk about real estate. It's such a sexy industry to talk about. And I love watching all of these real estate shows as well. I'm watching Buying Beverly Hills at the moment. Are you into property? Have you invested in property?
I did. I invested in Mexico. I invested in Lebanon. And I'm right now looking for properties in Dubai, yes.
Okay, nice. Are there any specific areas that you're looking in?
I love downtown. I've been living in downtown since I moved here, so I'm kind of attached to it. And my parents, every time they're here, it's very convenient. They love the walks, get to Dubai Mall, so... Yeah,
I'm a Dubai Marina kind of girl. I need to be by the water, by the sea, and but downtown is amazing. And I think you get so much more for your buck in downtown as opposed to Dubai Marina, just because of the water situation there. Yeah,
I'll keep that in mind.
Going back to China, unlike the rest of the world. One thing to mention is I currently live in DIP, right? And the Chinese have absolutely taken over a big chunk of that area. Chinese supermarkets, shops, restaurants, it's all in Chinese. There are now Chinese signs on the road as well for all of those kind of shops. And I have no idea what they say. I need to ask my brother-in-law, who is Chinese English.
Wow.
Yeah, we're a very international family. Yeah, we could have a United Nations of our own. We have Italian, we used to have French, Chinese, Iraqi.
Swedish?
No, my sister lives in Switzerland.
Ah, okay.
But yeah. Anyways, China, unlike the rest of the world, is dealing with deflation instead of inflation.
This Correct.
Is post-COVID as well. How is that affecting us? And if you can kind of from an economist's point of view, explain, you know, the deflation and kind of what happened after COVID.
Sure, Lubna. So as you said, China is an outlier in terms of having to deal with deflation these days, while the rest of the world is worried about inflation. But deflation is as bad as inflation. Japan dealt with it for a long time.
Yeah.
And what happens usually is the consumer prices falls between, when you measure them between one quarter and another. And that's usually due to a weak demand. So the consumers or the Chinese citizens would are, you know, after COVID, the recovery has been very, very slow. And there is no trust in the system. They are saving. They're not really consuming a lot. So the demand is weak, while you have a supply, a normal supply. So this gap between demand and supply makes it, or this is what drives us to price going down. And this is usually very bad to the for the economy. So this is what China is dealing with. It does affect us, because if, let's say, the consumers or the businesses, the people in China, again, if they're struggling, if they're saving, they're not consuming, then there are a lot of countries that export goods to China. But then if the demand, if the demand is weak and is low, we might lose money. Also, if they're not doing well, they're not traveling, they're not coming to the region. You know, the Chinese, I think, in terms of percentage of spending globally on tourism, they are the largest. So if they're not doing well, they are not traveling, the tourism worldwide will also suffer.
Sorry, I just remembered something. My Chinese brother-in-law, when he was in town a couple of years ago, because his parents live 6 months out of the year in Hong Kong and 6 months in the UK. And we went to Dubai Mall, and he looked, and there were so many Chinese tourists, which is obviously great to see for Dubai and for the economy. He just looked and he was like, oh, they're everywhere. So yeah, I guess they are everywhere, but it's great for the economy, you know what I mean? So are we seeing a slowdown then of Chinese spending and investment here in the region? In Dubai,
we will. I think we will feel it more with time now. The Chinese president addressed the Congress in March recently, and he projected that the Chinese economy is going to grow 5% in 2024.
Okay.
If we remember, the numbers we used to see for China was 9%, 10%. But even the 5% that seems modest right now, economists think this. We're not sure that actually China will be able to pull this off because of the crisis that you just mentioned in real estate, and because of another thing they're dealing with, which is the aging of their population.
Okay.
That's a big, big thing in China. They're not taking it, you know, lightly.
Yeah, and that's a nice transition, because that was one of our next topics that we wanted to talk about, is the aging population in China. Obviously, the UAE and Saudi are known for having that younger population.
Yes. So in April, last April, India, for the first time, surpassed China in terms of the its size of its population. Remember the days when China had the one-child policy?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That is not, right now, what they're dealing with, the reality is...
It's backfiring.
It's backfiring because the number of deaths actually is exceeding the number of births. And that is a burden for the economy. How so?
Yeah.
The workforce, you know how it works. The workforce is usually working.
Yeah.
And then part of the taxes that they're paying goes into the pension funds, goes into the social security system that supports, you know, retired retirement and disabled people who are not working. So if we have less people on the workforce and more people, you know, not working, there this creates an issue. And and also, I think one interesting thing to mention here, Lubna, we are living longer. We are living longer because, you know, we are,
you know.
There are all these meds now for, you know, losing weight, a lot of innovation, technology in the medical sector, right? AI now, God knows what's going to happen there. So we are living longer, but our system, retirement system, were done years ago when we used to live maybe till we're 65, 70 and stop working at 60. Today, yeah. if we're healthy, we can go until we're 90 years old.
Yeah.
So all this conversation now is back, and policymakers and different countries are trying to discuss it. Mm-hmm. The UAE and the region in general, as you know, we have the percentage of population that is less than 30 years old is
yeah.
high.
Yeah.
And this could be an asset or a liability. It is an asset in the UAE because there's a lot of investment in education, in upskilling, in preparing those young adults to be on the job market.
Right.
But in other countries in Africa, we can see that as a liability because there's a lot of unemployment and
sure.
usually these people have no place on the job market.
Sure. It's interesting because we used to say before Dubai was making strides kind of in the retirement schemes, the pension and all of that, we used to say there's no space. And it isn't a place for older people in Dubai. You don't see many old people in Dubai.
Yeah.
I think it is changing now. The population is still very much young. But as you said, people are living longer. They want to lead healthier lives.
Mm-hmm.
Some take it to an extreme.
I agree.
Like the 40-year-old guy who's trying to have a 20-year-old body. I forgot his name, but he's doing all of these experiments. And yeah, really weird stuff. What is your daily routine, though, as an economist? How
yeah.
do you stay, you know, up to date with all the global news?
Yeah.
And also, how do you stay healthy? Just we like to add a little personal spice into this show.
So if you ask my sister, so Jana, my sister is visiting, and I overheard her telling my mom, "I live with a robot." So I'm very disciplined. I'm a Virgo too, so I guess that plays
a role.
You do
seem very disciplined, yeah.
So usually I wake up, I'm an early bird, but I do all my readings in the morning, all the catch up with the news, all the readings in the morning. Usually I haven't done that the last month because I've been working a lot, but I work out in the morning as well.
Are you a 5 a.m. club kind of girl?
Six. And then a bit of gym, and then I start
Richard
my meetings.
Richard wakes up, I think, at like 4 or something.
So he doesn't sleep.
Yeah. I mean, how does that even work? Anyways,
yeah, that is tough. So, yeah, okay. I try to stay balanced, but sometimes with work, it's challenging.
Yeah. Do you do any kind of like, have you done any extreme activities
diet?
Or diets or health? Or, you know, there's a businesswoman called Briar Prestige who has... injected herself with a chip or something like that. I forgot exactly what that is about, but
I haven't injected myself with anything so far. But I just try to pay attention to what I'm eating.
Mm-hmm.
I usually cut on bread, carbs, and sugar. This is and that's it. I think it's more than enough just to take care of
bread is a girl's
what you goes into
friend.
Your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a moment on the lips, forever on the hips. Yeah,
yeah.
cool. Moving on back to business. Saudi's Tadawul has welcomed its 400th listed security. Before the show, you said, Lubna, you love this IPO stuff.
Yeah,
and I do. And one of the reasons why I do is because the local exchanges have had so much activity in the past couple of years. It used to be really boring. You know, we used to look at NASDAQ. We used to look at the London Exchange. We never really got excited about the local ones. But now with Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Saudi, it's just been really, really exciting. So, we've also seen a lot of local startups IPO.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is talking about Anghami right now. So it's really nice to see that happening in your city. It's kind of like seeing your city on Netflix for the first time So it's cool. We'll speak a little bit about Tadawul and then I have a question for you about the stock exchanges. nothing too financial,
yeah.
Don't worry, it's a bit personal. But so Tadawul has played a massive role in the facilitation of over $3.2 billion raised through IPOs in 2023. That's regionally. It is a milestone for the stock exchange. Diversification played a huge role in this success. Real quick, as of March 27th, the exchange featured 216 securities on the main market, 83 on Nomu, 71 Sukuk Wuhan bonds, 19 real estate investment trusts, 9 exchange-traded funds, and 2 closed-end funds. Closed-end funds. In 2023 alone, Tadawul listed over 70% of all GCC IPOs. That's huge. And we've seen companies like Tamara and Tabby also move their HQs to Riyadh. This marked the exchange's leading position in the region, all of those IPOs that were listed. It also outperformed the benchmark New York-based Morgan Stanley Capital International, or MSCI's energy market. Its all-share index rose to 14.2% compared to Morgan Stanley's 9.8% growth. Damn is all I have to say. Damn, well done for Saudi. Moving on from the stock exchanges, have you, or maybe going back to it a little bit, have you ever considered investing in stocks? Is that a thing that you kind of looked into as an economist, or do you like to play it more safe when it comes to investments?
I think for me, there's steps, right? Mm-hmm. Priority was to start with real estate. I've always looked, but also you need a lot of time. I think I'm a very safe person,
yeah.
So I need
yeah.
to know exactly the company, the region, what's happening
sure.
before I put my my money anywhere. Yeah. I like to play it safe. So, yeah.
So
till
not,
now,
not
I
stocks.
Haven't. I haven't, but eventually I'll have to. Yeah.
You should just get out of your comfort zone and right yeah. now invest in crypto.
Yeah,
here
you go.
What you should do. You know what I mean? Go the total opposite.
Well, it's always, diversification is always key.
Yeah,
I think it's
absolutely.
Always safe not to put, all your eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. If you're already good in terms of real estate, also diversify in terms of what you're investing in and the regions. I think because mm-hmm. you never know. Sometimes mm-hmm. you think like China, you think that mm-hmm. the real estate sector there, the government will never let it fall, and suddenly people are losing a lot of money there.
Yeah.
So diversify.
I don't know if I've mentioned this before. And speaking of real estate, I remember reading this book called The Deals That Made the World. And it's written by a journalist. It's absolutely brilliant. It talks about how the mafia money, because they were the only ones that were liquid at the time, it was the mob money that saved the governments, the U.S. government from the real estate crash. So it's a really, really fascinating book. I highly recommend it. Not for a beach read or anything, you know what I mean? But it's written in a way that makes it easy for anyone to understand the major business deals that happen behind closed doors and how it affects yeah. you as a person and the world around you. But speaking of real estate and real estate crisis and just kind of the property market generally, any expectations since we have you with us in the studio, might as well take advantage of your expertise. The real estate market in Dubai, everyone is saying something different. Every now and again, we get something about the prices going up and then the price is stabilizing, the price is going down. What is your take on this?
Personally, I don't think the prices are going to go down anytime soon. But this also, we need to look at the bigger picture. We need to look at the global economy, how the U.S. is gonna do as well, because our currency here is pegged to the
sure.
dollars, right? So
yeah.
whatever is happening in the U.S. is gonna affect us directly. And the United States itself is dealing also with some issues in their real estate, the commercial real estate after
the
COVID.
The dollar is at stake, yeah.
And
the value of the dollar, yeah.
I don't know if I'd say at stake, but they have very high level
sure.
of debt that people are starting to ask question if they're going to be able to sustain it or not. But
yeah.
in terms of real estate as well,
yeah.
because, it's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Their commercial real estate, people are watching it very carefully
mm-hmm.
because after COVID, people did not go back. Not everyone went back to the offices, right?
Exactly.
A lot of people are working from
mm-hmm.
home. A lot of people are traveling, even working from other countries. So the prices of the real estate, the commercial real estate, which are the offices, actually
yeah.
is going down. And sometimes
yeah.
you end up, people have invested in the commercial real estate,
mm-hmm.
but then they end up paying a mortgage that is more expensive than the worth of the asset today.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think in order to answer the question on Dubai, we need to look at the full picture. We need to look at the global economy. We need to look when the Fed is going to cut the interest rate, how many times, by how much, mm-hmm. and how the global economy is going to do, because that's going to affect us directly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So the prices are not going down, basically.
I don't think so.
Not great news for me. but for the economies. No, I'm just looking to rent. You know, okay. Humbly looking to rent, not to buy. Is it a good time to buy? You think? Is it a good time? We're just going into property now. But would you say it's a good time?
I would wait.
You would wait. Okay. Nice. Rawa, thank you for joining us as a co-host. Rawa is going to be with us next week as well. Every Tuesday, hopefully, we're aiming for Tuesday, more or less. If you're listening to this on audio, wherever you get your podcasts, Anghami, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, that's great. But if you would like the video version, please go to smashy.tv, our streaming service, and follow us on Instagram and YouTube. Thank you for listening.